your household was anything like mine growing up, you would have had a door frame or maybe a door itself where the parents in your house marked off your height as you grew older and older. In our household, our heights were marked on the side of an actual wardrobe. And being the youngest in my family, that wardrobe was a source of excitement and it was also a source of frustration. Excitement as I saw my name inching bit by bit up that wardrobe, but frustration as my brother and sister were always ahead of me. When will I ever be as tall as them? I remember asking myself. During the time we owned that wardrobe, I don't think I ever caught up to my brother, but I remember the day I caught up to my sister. That was a great day. A great day. Now, as a parent, I'm starting to go through the same process. With Theodore, each visit to the doctor results in another mark on the growth chart, and I'm finding another emotion is added to the excitement of watching progress. It's the emotion of worry, wondering whether or not the right progress is being made. The worry is there because I know that human beings are meant to grow. Just like you don't plant a tree without expecting growth, just like you don't invest some money without expecting growth, so too the human body is one of those things that you expect to grow up until a point. Once you hit adulthood, you expect to stop growing. Earlier this week, we had the first really warm day of the season. Do you remember? I think it might have been Monday or something like that. Today is another day like this. Heading up towards 30 degrees, I thought to myself, this is the first day for shorts. The first day for shorts. So I dug into my cupboard and found my shorts down there at the back. And as I sucked my stomach in to do up the button, I found myself thinking, I think I've grown here. Grown in the way that you're not meant to grow. Some things are meant to grow. Young children and teenagers, they're meant to grow. Other things shouldn't grow. Waistlines are not meant to grow. Here's a question for you. In which category would you place the church? Is the local church, our church here, Waitara Anglican, are we a body that is designed for growth, or are we designed to remain the same? Sometimes I feel it's hard to know which category to put the church into. Surely a growing relationship with God is a good thing. Surely more people in church is a good thing, especially if it means more people engaging with God who perhaps weren't engaging with him before, more people engaging with God's people. But from a merely human, pride-filled perspective, it would be a good thing to have more people in church. It would look good. It would feel good. The world around us would be put on notice. We're here and we're strong. It's hard to balance it up, I think. Is growth a good thing or is growth a dangerous thing? Is the church a body that's meant to grow or is it a body that's meant to do not much more than what we're doing now? We need some guidance on this issue. And thankfully, Jesus himself has said a couple of things about it. In our Bible reading, we heard Jesus use two images that speak about growth. The image of the mustard seed growing into a plant and the image of some yeast being worked through a batch of dough. Two different images describing two different types of growth. The first image is there in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. What is it that's growing in this picture? Well, right at the beginning, Jesus says this picture is about the kingdom of heaven. We still have kingdoms in our modern world. More than you realise, actually. Only this week, Thailand has lost its king, Rama the Ninth, and up until his passing, he was the longest serving monarch currently in the world, and now that title has passed to Queen Elizabeth II. And a monarch has a people to rule and a land in which they live. and the God we worship is no different. The people are those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day he will return and we will live with him in a renewed world. That's the land. There is a king, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a land that we are waiting for, a renewed planet when Jesus returns. Until that time, though, the kingdom of heaven can be seen whenever those people gather and form the church. We meet as subjects of the king. We meet as people who listen to his voice. We meet as people who seek his help. And we go out of this meeting as people who are seeking to represent him throughout the world. And Jesus predicts that this is a kingdom that will have an exciting story to tell. It's a kingdom that starts off small. He likens this kingdom to a mustard seed, which he says is the smallest of all seeds. Think back to the church's humble beginning. A group of frightened disciples in a room with a locked door. Their leader had been crucified. They weren't sure what was going to happen next. But what did happen? Just 7 weeks later, during the festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of Jesus descends upon the apostles, and through the preaching of Peter, 3,000 people were added to the church on one occasion. In other words, the seed grew and very quickly became a bush. And then, as the history of the church unfolded, men and women came to faith all over the world, and the bush became a tree. God's kingdom is something that's designed to grow in size. Jesus says that the seed becomes the biggest plant in the garden. We get a sense of why size is important at the end of verse 32. The birds come and perch in its branches. Some other English translations say the birds come and make nests in its branches. Just like a bird will come and make a nest, it will make a home in the branches of a suitable tree, so too men and women will come and make a home, a spiritual home in the church. Why do we use this language of making a home? Why not simply talk about the church growing and people growing in attendance? Why do we talk about making a home? Because people are designed to have God as their father. People are designed to have brothers and sisters, spiritual brothers and sisters in the church. People don't become who God wants them to be until they join his family. And God is building a big family. A family where people can find rescue from the destructive nature of sin. A family where people can grow into who God wants them to be. A family where people can find an eternal future. And the more branches the tree sends out, the more people can take a part in it all. Church growth is important because it's about people finding shelter. That's why it's important. It's not simply about growing in order to look good. In fact, it's not about growing to look good at all. It's growth for the benefit of others. And this is why it's never adequate to say, you know what, we should just stay the same. We should stay the same, because really what we're saying when we're saying that is we're saying we're okay with other people being shut out in the spiritual cold. We're okay with people not finding a home. We're okay with people not discovering that they have a father who loves them. We're okay with people still being destroyed by the destructive effects of sin. We're okay with people remaining under God's judgment. Jesus' plan is for the kingdom to grow, for there to be more branches, for more people to find shelter. And it's a kingdom which is growing in another dimension as well. The second image Jesus has is there in verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough. Like the image of the mustard seed, the image of the yeast starts with something small. A couple of years ago, Jazz and I were making our own bread with a bread maker at home. This is before it bit the dust. And in went the water, in went the flour, and then I'd get my finger and just make a small hole in the top, and I'd get my tiny little yeast spoon, and from the packet, from the sachet, get a tiny little bit of yeast, and I'd pour it into that hole and cover it up, and then I'd turn it on and go to bed, and that bread maker would work its magic, and that yeast would work through all that dough, and the result in the morning would smell amazing. If the image of the mustard seed is meant to emphasize growth in size, the image of the yeast is meant to emphasize growth in influence, or rather in invasiveness. The kingdom of heaven is spreading into all sorts of different corners. When we leave church today, each of us will go back into another context. Some of us will go back into families where we're the only Christian. Some of us will go back to workplaces where we're the only people who have a biblical worldview. Some of us will go back to schools where our influence will be the only Christian one. Our presence in those contexts is no accident. God has put us there deliberately. Like yeast, our witness is spread around. Spread into all sorts of different corners of our culture, all sorts of different corners of our society. This is why personal growth in Christian maturity is so important. We can talk about growth in numerical size, but this is why personal growth in Christian maturity is important. It's so important to be growing in knowledge so that we do have an answer when someone in our own particular context has a question about Christianity, has a question about our faith. We need to be growing so we know how to answer. It's so important to be growing in joy and gentleness and in the fruit of the Spirit so that we make the gospel attractive. It's so important to be growing in our trust in God so that when challenges to faith come, we'll stand steady. The growth that Jesus wants is both quantitative and also qualitative. His kingdom is growing in quantity, but also in quality. But this is something I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you this because I know that in our church we have plenty of people who think the exact same way. In August and September, I visited most of our small groups. There's still one small group yet to visit, and I'll be visiting them soon. But so far, I've visited all but one, and I asked the groups to fill out a short questionnaire. And over the past few weeks at church, in our church bulletins, I've been sharing with you the results of that survey. One of the questions was this: in 5 years' time, what do you hope might be different in our church? And here are the most popular responses. Now, I've tried to get the words there as big as I could. I'll read out what the bottom axis says. But these are the most popular responses to this question. Basically, the answer is that we want to grow. In 5 years' time, the overarching response is that we hope that we will be bigger. Bigger in terms of quantity. The most popular response, the big one there on the left, is increased membership. That's what people want to see. People want to see more people worshipping at church. People want to see a growth in the amount of ministries we run, which is a good thing because the more ministries we run, the more opportunities we'll have to connect with our community. But that can't happen unless we increase our membership. Some people want to see more space. These are all dreams about size. This is about seeing the tree grow larger, providing spiritual shelter for more and more people. And people want to see more maturity. People want to see a deepening in the quality, I guess, of our faith. Increased levels of participation was the second highest response. A greater sense of church being family was also here. More evangelism, deeper discipleship. These are all maturity issues, the kind of maturity that will help us be more effective as disciples. Isn't it good to know that we're on the same page as Jesus Christ? Who spoke about growth? He did. Praise be to God that this is a church where we're headed in this direction. what might this growth look like in real terms? Well, back in May, I asked our parish council what they wanted to see. I got each of them to write down their kind of vision of what they wanted to see in 5 years on a bit of paper, and then I collected them all up. They didn't share their ideas with anyone, and then we kind of looked at them all together. And when I got them to do that, the answers were really interesting because a numerical figure emerged. On a poorly attended Sunday for us, we'll have about 150 people here. There are some weeks where we dip even lower than that. Typically the Sunday after Christmas, the October long weekend, historically, in every church I've worked in, has always been a poorly attended Sunday. So those things are kind of natural things, but a poorly attended Sunday for us is about 150 people, men, women and children. A really good Sunday for us is over 200. The number that came up from a few members of the parish council was a number between 300 and 400 people on a Sunday. So putting that together with the results of this survey, I think a longer term goal is to double our attendance here on a Sunday. And I think that 300 to 400 number is a good number because a church that size would fill our auditorium here 3 or 4 times on a Sunday. I think that would really be making the maximum use of our facility here. Moving beyond that, if we were to move beyond, say, 400 people, then we really have to start asking some serious questions about what kind of ministry we'll run here at Waitara Anglican. Do we become a church planting ministry with lots of different congregations in different locations? Or do we sell? Do we sell this property and aim to buy another property, perhaps down in an industrial area where we can have more people gathering together? That would be an exciting season, wouldn't it, to be asking that question. Which way do we go? But we will never have to ask that question if we just stay the same. The first step, I think, in terms of a longer goal, is to start thinking about doubling our Sunday attendance, to maximise what it is we've got, to maximise what it is that you all have invested here when we did the renovation 3 years ago. A more medium-term goal, I think, is to rethink how we're using the rectory. Right now it's being used as a residence, but Parish Council are rethinking what we can do with that space. We've engaged an architect to put some concepts together, and the concept we're thinking about at the moment involves turning the top floor of the rectory into a residential unit, converting the bottom floor into ministry space. Perhaps the backyard can become a courtyard with access from the hall and access from the foyer. We don't have the costings for that. At this stage, it's not much more than an idea. It is more than an idea, but it's not much more than that. But perhaps next year, you may start to hear more about that. One thing that I've noticed is that during winter times, the Sunday school class that meets in the foyer is meeting in a very cold environment. I mean, already right now, you could argue that we need extra space, particularly for our children's ministry. But this is perhaps a more medium-term goal. Of course, just changing the building isn't going to be enough to foster growth. The main strategy is to pray, because Jesus remains our chief shepherd, to pray and to work on our growth as disciples, because the most likely person to make a new disciple of Jesus is someone who is growing in their own faith. We need to be growing in our own faith as disciples. And right now, there are two opportunities for us to deepen our discipleship. Two opportunities. Let me speak a little bit about our student minister, Matthew Morrison. There he is. Picture taken this morning. Matthew has been at our church for many years. Matt, when did you start worshipping here? Can you remember? 2004 and 2005. Yeah, I think you predate Bruce, don't you?
Yeah.
So you've seen 3 senior ministers here at Waitara. Some people have seen 4. But Matt is one of the long-termers. In terms of hours volunteered for our church, I think he's one of a handful who's right up there. In those years he's been with us, those hours have been spent leading Bible study, serving on parish council, leading services, preaching, and together with a very committed team, those hours have also been spent leading our youth work. Our Friday night group, WAY, at our 6:45 youth service on Sunday nights. Late last year, Matt decided to head into full-time ministry, and if I can put it this way, Matt, you've taken to theological study like a duck to water. You seem to love it. And we decided to employ Matt as a student minister one day a week with special responsibility for the youth work. Now, we decided to fund this position from our future fund. We do have a future fund which is set aside for new ministry positions and which is set aside for some building work. We decided to use that fund to kind of seed fund Matthew's position. But this year we need to fund it from the congregation. Our youth work is relatively small, but I want you to think about the mustard seed. Things can start small and they can develop over time. And God willing, this is what we want to see with our youth ministry. You want to get a chain happening. Children's work kind of leading into youth work, leading into young adults work. And that chain is kind of in its infancy. I mean, maybe at different periods of our church it's been stronger, and sometimes these things ebb and flow. But when you get that chain happening, you can start feeding back in the children's ministry as the young adults ministry provides leadership for the children's ministry and leadership for the youth ministry. And having a dedicated staff position, even if only one day a week, is a great step in getting that chain going. We have a children's work that's well received. The next step is to foster the youth work and also the young adults work, and Matt's role is a critical part, particularly right now. It's a critical part in deepening that work. This is something we need to start funding from next year. Let me also talk a little bit about music. The importance of music in our growth as Christians is brought home to me every second Thursday at the Masonic Towers Nursing Home, just here in the far corner of the hospital. On those days, I run a worship service there in the nursing home. I lead the residents in prayers. I teach the residents from the Bible, and I also lead in the singing of some hymns. Many of the residents have dementia, and some can barely communicate. Many have trouble understanding what I say, but many of them come alive when it's time to sing the hymns. These are hymns that are seated deep within their memory. They remember the hymns, they know the hymns. I can read out God's promises from the Bible till I'm blue in the face, but when I sing them in the words of a hymn, that's when I see a response. Jesus told us to love God with all our heart, mind and soul. To love God not only with our intellect, but with all of our being. And it's my experience that music has an ability to penetrate our whole being in the way that simply spoken words might not do on every occasion. When God's word is attached to music, they have a profound effect. We heard this when Tina Abraham gave her testimony a few months back at the 10 a.m. service. Music played an enormous part in leading Tina to faith. I remember when I was working in student ministry many years ago, speaking to a Korean student who came to faith through the songs that were being sung in the church that he decided to attend. I believe music is a very important part of our Christian growth. So I would love to employ someone to help with music, especially on Sunday mornings. You might think, well, what's wrong with our music the way it is? And you'd be right to wonder that, because on Sunday mornings, particularly at 10 a.m. service, the music is great. But in December, the Whitbournes are heading overseas, moving to Ukraine. That will leave a hole. Emily is playing a lot of music at 10 a.m, even though we actually employ her to do children's work at that time. Freeing her up will benefit our children's ministry. At the 8:30 service, we don't have any musicians. We sing to recorded music on an iPad. By the way, if you can play piano and you don't mind volunteering, perhaps one Sunday, two Sundays a month, to come to our 8:30 service and help out there, that would be a great ministry that you could embark upon. I think the best scenario would be to get someone who could play the piano at 8:30 and then strap on a guitar, help lead the singing at 10, and then perhaps get beside our volunteers who serve us so well and help them be the best music volunteers they can be. Not interested in hiring a soloist. I'm interested in hiring someone who can provide a little bit of leadership to the people who are already serving in this area. But in the end, what this person will do will depend on who's available and what they can do. I think if people gave enough, we could extend that person to help out in the evening. Our music in the evening has a bit more depth at the moment, but even then, Penny is about to head overseas, so that will leave another hole. So friends, these are two opportunities that are in front of us. Opportunities to help our church deepen its discipleship. What can we do about it? Well, last year at this service, I asked for $15,000. You gave $17,000. This year, I'm making an appeal for $20,000. $20,000 to be collected over the coming weeks. $20,000 to pay for Matt's student ministry position. $20,000 to employ a music director for Sunday mornings. On top of that, there are some important pieces of equipment that we need to buy, like a new sound desk for the hall. And Parish Council have made the decision that if we raise $20,000 now, then we will be in a great position to do these things in 2017. Jazz and I are getting the ball rolling. Last year I wrote a cheque, and I haven't written a cheque since then because it's old technology. So this time round I've made an electronic transfer. Here's the receipt. It's already been done. $750 from us towards the $20,000. I don't do this to show off. I'm in two minds when to pull out a sheet of paper like this and say, see, we've started it. But I thought the purpose of doing that is to provide an example of the kind of giving that's required, to provide a little bit of leadership. If 30 families in the church made that same commitment, then we'd be well over target. You can write a cheque and put it in an envelope in our offertory over the coming weeks with Celebration Sunday written on the envelope, or you can make an electronic transfer and put Celebration Sunday in the description field. The way Jesus tells the story is that the kingdom of heaven is going to grow whether we like it or not, because God is the one who's growing it. The seed will sprout and it will become a plant. Our decision is whether our own little branch is going to grow alongside the rest. In another place in the Gospels, Jesus does talk about plants being pruned, plants that are not fruitful being pruned, and the branches that are fruitful remain in place. And so even though the church will grow, there is a decision we have to make as to whether or not we're going to be a part of it. And you've already said that you do want to be a part of it. That's what that survey showed. And so here's the first step in attaining that goal. I pray that you will consider making a contribution. We're going to spend some time in prayer now. Two people are going to lead us in prayer. Nick, you all know and love, and Nick's going to come up and lead us in prayer in response to God's word. And also Alex Rock from our 645 congregation, he's going to lead us in prayer as well. Thanks, guys.
Okay, let's pray. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and become a tree, so that birds can come and perch in its branches. Father, we do thank you for planting that grain of mustard seed, that through Jesus' preaching, the kingdom began with just 12 disciples. Thank you that they faithfully preached the gospel so that the kingdom spread across the world. We thank you for the people who brought the good news to us. We praise you that the kingdom continues to grow and to reach the people of all nations. We thank you that you use us in growing your kingdom as we work together to share the gospel with others. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will fill each member of this church, that you will guide us in our own growth in faith as we spend time in your word and in prayer and sharing with one another around your word. Father, that your spirit might guide us in our prayers as we support the work of the gospel through prayer. That the spirit would guide us in our giving, that we might support that work financially as we seek to employ and to provide facilities. And that you'll continue to work through us in our serving, as together we serve in the various ministries of this church, so that many people will come to hear about Jesus. We pray for Marty and for the leaders of all our ministries in the church. We pray that you'll continue to raise up leaders to serve you in the various ministries, so that our work amongst children, youth, families, and all ages may continue to grow to the glory of your name. And Lord, we look forward to the final coming of your kingdom, when we join with that great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, and people and language, standing before your throne, before the Lamb. Help us to serve you in the light of that great day. Amen.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you've blessed us with incredible weather leading into summer. Thank you that we're able to gather here in such a nice church and praise you without persecution, Lord. I pray for the future of our church. As Psalm 25 verse 10 says, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. I pray that we can please take this to heart and remain loyal to Jesus through our journey as Christians. I also pray that more of our suburb can come to know Jesus, Lord, that they can open up their hearts and come to you. I pray that our church can grow its branches so more birds can perch on the branches, Lord. I also pray that we can grow in our love and knowledge of Jesus and God's word, that we can learn more about God, take it to heart, and put it to practice, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.